Others, let's see where we are on the list. There we are. There's the one another's. Before we move into the one another's, do you have any questions about this morning? I'm not saying that I'll answer your questions. Just ask if you have questions.
What did Abram
mean? Abram is the father of many, if I have that right. And then Abraham is the father of many nations. And we talked about that before, because we actually went over Abraham and went through Romans chapter 4. Can you imagine? Here's this man that walks around and has his name, the father of many, and he has no children. Must have been the laughing stock of every conversation and everywhere he went. Where's your children? I don't have them. What's your name? Father of many. I know. Well, he did, by the way. So, when he was 100, he had Isaac. And he had Ishmael at, he was 86. So. No questions? That's fantastic. I'll take that. All right. Gene, can you pass these out, please? All right, so there's two things on these. This is a little bit of a nicer piece of paper. And there's one is our church covenant. One side is our church covenant. That's a good thing to read through every once in a while. Should pin that up somewhere. But on the back is the one another's. So I have 23 one another's back here. And I have some more. I'll show you in just a minute. But there's 23 here. And maybe you can find some more in the Bible, but there's 23, and this is a good list of practicing these things. And if you do one a week, how many times will you go through the list? Twice, yes. You'll go through it twice. So, that's an interesting thing to think about. We have plenty of descriptive material as far as what we should be doing towards one another and the church body. And if we would do these things, we would become so close to each other. And it would be very, very good. So we're going to go over these tonight. There are some one another's in the Bible that are not as popular as these. Some that are not as well known. These two. Can someone who's willing, I need to, David, you read this next one that I put up here, okay? You read it real loud, okay? Okay, here's one of them that are, this one's not as well known, okay? Read it real loud.
Go to law against one another, 1 Corinthians 6:7.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:7 says go to law against one another, all right? So, there's one. Jacob, I want you to read this next one real loud, okay?
Rebel against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. You hold the judges standing at the door, James 5:9.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. We're told to grumble against one another, lest you be condemned. So if you're not grumbling against one another, you're in danger of really having a problem. Okay, Alan, you want to read this next one? Read it real loud, okay?
Speak evil of one another, brethren, James 4:11.
So I guess we can't gossip. All right, John and Fred, you want to read this next one real loud for us?
Lie to one another, Colossians
3:9. Okay, so lie to one another. And then, Daniel, you want to read this next one. I think this is one of my favorites.
Bite and devour one another. Beware lest ye be consumed by one another. Galatians 5:15.
So I guess that's, you go on the offensive so that, you don't get consumed by other people. So you bite and devour them first before they get to you. All right. What's wrong about that? Everything out of context. Okay. I left off some key words of the verses, but look, I can make God's word say whatever I want it to say. All I have to do is edit it and bring stuff around. And so I could preach sermons about certain subjects. I'm like, hey, I want the people to do this. And I could pull out edits and just misquote things. That's one of the reasons why you should have a Bible. One of the reasons why you should bring a Bible to church. Because what if I started preaching on biting and devouring one another? You'd be like, well, it's from Galatians. I must have missed that in my reading, kind of thing. But if you have a Bible, you can say, no, that's not what it says. And you can read the context as well. So these things, don't lie to one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Don't grumble, okay, against each other. In fact, a lot of these start with do not. Do not, do not. I just took off the do not. Okay, so I did a little bit of editing. But this reminds us that we have to be careful with our hermeneutics, with the study of God's word, and reading the context, and understanding what it says. I just wanted to put that up there to remind us to be good Bible students. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through this list, some of this list. There's no way we can get through all of it tonight. But what I want to do is I want to be very practical tonight, because I want to ask three questions of these one another's. The first question I want to ask is, what is this? All right, just very simply, what is this one another? What does it look like in our contemporary setting? What would that look like here and today? And then the third question is obviously more of a rhetorical question, unless you want to confess. Am I doing this? All right? Am I doing this? So let's go to John chapter 13. So you have on the back of your, you have the one another, you have a whole list there. And I've got extras up here, okay? So if you're like, oh, this is a really nice looking list, I want to hang this up somewhere, but then you're also like, I want to take notes as well. You can do both of those. You can take notes on the one you have, and then you can come get a nice one after and feed that. So John chapter 13. Anybody know the context of what's happening here? Where are we in the life of the Lord Jesus and what's going on? Okay, he has just washed the disciples' feet. Very good. He's just washed the disciples' feet. And it says this, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All right, so what is this one another? What are we supposed to do? Okay, we're supposed to love one another. This is the most important one another. Love one another, because that's going to overshadow everything else we do. What is the standard of that love? What is the example of that love? Jesus. Okay? How far did Jesus go in his love for us? What did he do? He died on the cross for our sins. He laid down his life for us. That's the kind of love that we're supposed to exhibit towards one another. Now, this isn't, when you look at these one another's are not towards outside people, unsaved people. This is within the family of God. This is church people. This is fellow disciples. All right? We are supposed to do things towards the ungodly and the unsaved out there, but these one another's, there's intimacy here between the family. And so we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. As a cross-reference, and just an interesting thought, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is many times called the love chapter, okay? But it is, in the context, it's talking about spiritual gifts. And Paul basically says, even though I could do the most magnificent spiritual gifts, but I don't have love, what's the result? What's the
clanging
symbols? Clanging symbols, right? Right. So here's I could preach the best sermon, but if it's not filled with love, if I don't love the people that I'm preaching to, it's worthless. You can do the kindest act towards someone, a kind act, but if it's not filled with love. And in that chapter, in that love chapter, very interestingly, in the very last verse of chapter 13 of Corinthians, it says this, now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love, understanding love, and practicing love is greater than faith, is greater than hope. Now, I'm not saying that faith and hope aren't important. But Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, elevates love. It's like it's that important. So that's why this one is at the very top of our one another. If you do not practice love, you might as well just give up on the rest of them. Okay? So, what does this look like in our contemporary setting? This is the part where we interact a little bit. Yeah, what does this look like in the church? Now, I can give you examples because I've watched you and I've seen you practice this. I don't want to embarrass you, but what are some examples that you might just give? Good. Okay? It could be as simple as that, sending a card to someone that's not feeling well. Obviously, some of these are going to overlap. So there's going to be one that's comfort one another. And that's going to be along the same lines. But you can't comfort if you don't love the person. Okay, good. Simple. What else?
A hug.
Okay, you might be a hug. Yeah. Yeah, to bring somebody a meal when they're not feeling well or if they had a baby, they broke something. Good.
Sacrificing something
that
you want, but maybe with time, but you're
going to
go and minister to them instead.
Okay, so Mary said a key word. She said sacrificing. And that's one of the things that I think that's really... It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you energy. And so you need to understand that. Am I willing to do this for somebody? Do I actually love them as Christ has loved me? And then that's how you are moved towards them. And then you're going to do something for them and all these things. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. Romans chapter 12. You see there's several in Romans chapter 12. Actually, in all of Romans. And of course, we'll get to these when we get here in Romans. Let me start with verse 9. So Romans 12, 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor of giving preference to one another. Lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." So verse 10, being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Okay, so what is this? Okay, it is putting others first, but what is that? What is that being kindly affectionate to one another? This is a love that would be characterized within a relationship of a family between husband and wife, mother and children, father and son, devoted, warm, the family affection. Okay, so there is a deeper bond. Okay, but how does it? How is that bond? I guess I'm moving kind of number two here. How is that bond communicated? How are we kindly affectionate towards one another? Hannah?
Just readiness go over onto that more affection, that warmth.
So a warmness spilling over into their lives, as you would see like with a parent with a child, and just their willingness to be with their children, to read stories to them. And I'm not saying they need to read stories to one another, maybe. But this is an affection that's like a familiar, a family affection. So there shouldn't be a coldness towards one another. You know, it shouldn't be like when you see someone at the store, you're like, hope they don't see me, you know, kind of thing. It should be like, hey, that's my family. You know? And like Dorothy said, it might be a hug. It might be a, it might just be a, you know, some kind of embrace. I don't know. But just, that's how we are to relate to one another. You know, so not cold. And of course, that's going to be different. You know, the differences that we are, the different ways that we are. Okay, so kindly affectionate towards one another. Are we doing that? Or are we cold towards one another? There you go. That's good. Yeah, that's good. So what Alan said is that he saw in the service a young person got up and went and got a hearing device for an older person. Good. All right, right in the same verse, there's another one. Giving preference, in honor, giving preference to one another. All right, what is that? Okay, thinking more of someone else than yourself? Good. Opposite of what the Corinthian church was doing. They were very selfish. Me first. They were the me first generation. Me first movement. Yes, Hannah.
Maybe one example is that I know sometimes with particular church ministry that we really like doing, you know, we can almost kind of become a little control freak in that area. And then somebody else comes along and they're interested in helping in that area, we just have a hard time relinquishing control, you know, and so giving other people opportunities to serve, even if they don't do it maybe to the degree or the standard that we might have in mind, you know, but letting other people have the freedom to even get the standards.
Yeah, that's very good. And that's I'm the worst offender of that one. Out of everybody, because it's like my thought is, you know, it always I can always get done quicker and sometimes better, but that's usually not the case. I think that's the case, but it's not. But it's easier than me trying to relate to someone and then finding them and them doing it and so on and so forth. But it's that understanding of how the Lord works the body and allowing other people to serve. And even if it's an area you say, I'd love to serve in this area, but someone comes along and shows interest, you say, you know what? I can let them serve in this area. So give your preference to one another. Good, that's a good application. It might be as simple as your place in line going to the fellowship meal. You know, letting others go before you. It might, you know, I mean, it might be seating. Okay, nobody wants to sit in front, obviously, because no one sits in the front. But it might be one of those things that, you know, you say, you know, it's a Sunday where it seems like it's kind of full in here, and you say, you know what, I'm gonna go sit in the very front. Just so that other people can have a more comfortable place to sit, what they're used to or they're comfortable with. That would be giving preference to one another. Parking places. Some of you do this. Some of you will park way far away, like in another block away. Or just, you do. You're very careful where you park because you say, you know what, I can walk. I can walk in the dark. I'm not going to trip. And so I'd rather people who need to park closer could park closer. And so you give preference to them. These are the kind of things that we should be doing. This should be our heart towards one another. All right, what's, we're not going to get anywhere tonight. Let's go to one that's a little bit different. Go to chapter 15 of Romans. and I know we're not going to get through them tonight. You have a list. What I would like you to do is that you would look at this list every once in a while and pick one out and think about it. Say, what does this look like? What does this look like in our contemporary setting, and am I doing it? Can you imagine what our church would look like if we were faithfully practicing these things? I'm not saying that we're not. I think we do. But I know we can always do better. But can you imagine these 23 days if you were just... So verse 14. Now I am myself confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. What does it mean to admonish one another? Before we apply it, what does that look like? What does the word admonish mean? To what? It's how more, it's a little more instructs. In a way.
It is
more of a rebuke. It's to instruct, to warn, to counsel, and so yeah, it's kind of encouragement, but it's more so that, hey, you know what, you're gonna fall off the cliff here if you keep going. So there's a sense of instruction towards that end, warning. All right, so what does that look like in our contemporary setting? Okay, practicing church discipline. Good, keeping each other accountable. Church discipline, okay, when someone does something that's wrong, church discipline starts with how many people?
Two.
Okay, you're right, because it's the person and the person, you know, admonishing them. So you're right, it is two. So, but one person. And if I'm the one who sees the sin, who's the person that's supposed to go to them? I'm the one that's supposed to go to them, right? That's true. That's the start of church discipline. And you're admonishing them. You're instructing them. You're counseling them. And you're saying, this is, according to God's word, this is not right. You shouldn't be doing this. We should be doing that towards one another. Now, obviously, are you going to say, hey, you know what? On my week this week is practice admonishing one another. So I need to find someone and admonish them.
The last part of the verse says we should be careful not to put a stumbling block ourselves.
Yes. And we'll get more into this more when we go later on. So yes, so that's a good observation. You can still warn people who are not doing things that are wrong. You can still instruct people that are not doing things that are wrong. So what I mean by that is that you can still warn somebody, even if they're doing what's right. You can say things like, hey, are you faithfully living for the Lord today? Are you witnessing today? Are you, like Jacob said, keeping them accountable? Go to Ephesians chapter 5:2-1 we'll look at tonight. So Ephesians 5:19. Sorry, verse 18. Sorry, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, so what's the one another here? Look at it very carefully. What's the one another?
Sing to one another.
Okay, so I said be careful because it says speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and then it says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, so I know it seems kind of weird because we have these speaking to one another in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And the speaking there may be more of, it could be like speaking, but it's just this aspect of getting it to them kind of thing. Okay, so we have that. What does this look like in our contemporary setting? someone with a song. How are you going to do that?
Text.
You're going to text someone.
Sure.
Yep. You can text a song to someone. You can text a line of a song to someone. Good. Very good.
McKay's ministry.
Good. McKay's ministry. Good. Singing special music. When there's a song that's really blessing your heart, you can say, I want to share that with the church. Because I want to speak to them in psalm sense and spiritual songs. Good? You could break out into song. I mean, they do that in movies all the time, right? Right? They're in the middle of something, and all of a sudden they just start singing. But you can be in the midst of the ladies. You know, obviously you don't want to create disorder, but you can be in the midst of saying, hey, this reminds me of a song. Can I sing it? And you sing a song. That can be really precious. A couple weeks ago, in Sunday school, we were talking about healing, gifts of healing, and that. And I referenced a video by Johnny Anderson Tata, and several of you have talked to you about it. But when she did that speech, that testimonial time, there were some times when she broke out into song, and she referenced songs. Okay? So you can text it. You could send it in the mail to someone, a hard copy. You could, if you're artistic, you could write lines on a nice picture board and give it to somebody. Okay, one more. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And 25. Well, let's start with verse 23. Let us, Hebrews 10, 23. I still want to get in trouble, like with all these biting devourers.
Context.
Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So you have truth here of exhorting one another, but considering one another in order to stir up love and good works. What is that? What does that look like? What does it mean to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works? Good. Okay, so you need to know people, know their personality. You might do something for one person, but that's not going to be the best thing to do for another person. Good. Having a knowledge of the people.
It's a funny use of words. I'm guessing there's like a translation issue, but you typically, if you hear the word provoke, it's not.
Right.
It's not a good thing.
Right. Right. So that provoke, that stir up.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But that is. Provoke is, usually in a negative context, but it's kind of interesting how it's, we could provoke people to do good things. What would be a vernacular?
Challenge.
There you go. We challenge people. Challenge them to do something.
Sometimes we might need more of a swift hand getting us to get back to doing right. Or,
Yeah, and that comes back to who is the person you're considering one another, what are they like, where are they, and what kind of stirring up do they need? What kind of provoking do they need? And it may be that they need that a heavy hand in a sense. They really need part. Sometimes they just maybe need to be held by the hand and brought along.
To provoke them to good works?
Provoke, yes. Yeah, provoke, yeah. Yes. Right. Yes. And so we need to know them, and what are we doing to stir them up and to move them to do good works? How are we going to say?
Well, an example of that would be like I'm thinking like when Lana's mother needed help out on her place, and a couple started maybe with Lana and Jacob,
Yeah, that's a great example. So, you know, when God has laid something in your heart, you're like, hey, here's something we can do over here. And so, you know, yes, you can probably do it by yourself, or you can pull some other people along and say, hey, guys, let's go minister here for the Lord's glory, for our brothers and sisters. It's great.
Like, let's just stir up love and good works. They put them together.
Mm. Putting love and good works together. Yes. So in areas of ministry, yeah, to stir up for ministry. I several of you I've talked to, Judy, I think you were one with teaching Sunday school, and you didn't really feel like you were. If I got to stir up, you didn't really feel like you were adequate, but you were kind of brought along, right? And she did, and you did a great job, and you enjoyed it, right? But there's you know. I know that I've done that to some people where I've kind of been like, hey, why don't you do this? I know with David and Jacob, sometimes teaching Sunday school on Wednesday night, or Alan, you know, Wednesday night, I'm like, hey, let's go ahead and do this. You know, and it may not be the thing that they're like, oh yeah, I'm so excited about doing that. You know? But it's been good for their spiritual development and their growth. So we have this pulling people along, helping them, you know, we got a ministry project.
Along with considering one another and knowing people, a big part of stirring people up to love and good works is oftentimes they just don't know about the importance or the significance maybe of a particular area of service and information doing. So part of that is like our ability to provoke their love and good works and challenge them to know where they're at and help lead them along and keep understanding of whether it's evangelism or giving or I mean whatever it might be, there's so many things that a lot of times we just don't really understand why something is important.
Good. So yeah, so it's also the educational process of helping, you know, sometimes this considering and stirring up is this, you may not understand how important like Sunday school is, or how important evangelism is, or how, what God can do and work through it. So you instruct them and teach them and then you help them along. Good. Alright, so there's more things on this list, and here is my thoughts, my desire. Not that we would look at this in a mechanical way, where we'd say, okay, this week I'm going to do this one. Check, did it. This week I'm going to do this one. Check, did it. This week I'm going to do, hey, I did all 23 this year, so I'll take the rest of the year off. Okay? Not for that kind of thing. But that it would become part of us, and that these things would be in us, and we wouldn't even necessarily have to name them. We wouldn't have to say, oh yes, this is me being kindly affectionate towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. But just that I would be that. Or, you know, yes, this is me comforting a brother and sister in Christ. But that we would just be that. This is the day I'm going to practice stirring up for love and good works. Well, just that you would be doing that kind of thing. And, you know, praying for one another, challenging one another. And this brings about a mutual edification. And we all grow up. We all grow up in this process and become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's really our desire. And that's really what brings God glory. The more our desire is to look like Christ more and more and more and more. So when the world looks at us, or when we look at one another, we see Christ. And that is our goal. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for today and the blessing of today, being together, learning from one another, listening to one another. And Father, being able to encourage and comfort, I thank you for all of that. Thankful for the people, the beloved people, my family, my church family. Father, I'm thankful for each and every one and the part that each plays. And Father, I pray that we would all do better. We'd work harder for your glory. That we would practice the one another's, and that it would really be beautiful as you look upon us. I do pray for this week, Father, whatever holds, that we would walk close to you, that we would be in your word, that we would be faithful in our prayers, and we would be looking to you to see you provide in your giving wisdom, giving daily strength. And Father, that we would see many things accomplished for your glory this week. I pray as well that on our souls, that continually would be the loss, and particularly that person that we thought of last Sunday, that one would be on our souls continually. We continue to think and pray, and Father, and to even how can we share the gospel with them, that we would desire more and more that they would come to know Christ. Thank you for each one that's here, the one another's that are being practiced. May we learn from one another, Father, how to practice the one another's. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.